Welcome back, everyone, for this week's episode of our Smoky Mountain Wrestling Podcast, as this week we are tackling Smoky Mountain Wrestling episode number 10 from April the 4th of 1992. We are back, Doc, in the Knoxville Civic Coliseum studio, same location we've been in for quite a few weeks now, we're still in the same place, so I'm actually looking forward to the next episode when we finally do it, because we'll be out of this Knoxville Civic Coliseum studio. But on to the match and on to the show. First, before I say that, Doc, how's your week been, man? You been all right? You seem a little frustrated before we started recording today's show.
Are you sure this shit is recording? Do you want to tell the listeners? Do you want to tell the good people of Smoky Mountain, the Smoky Mountain Territory, and the BTT Army?
That this is the fourth time we're trying to record episode 10?
Yes.
Well, we had some technical difficulties thanks to Doc Turner's headset problems that he's having. Doc has Doc's a cheap guy, man. He's got all his money. He's a doctor, but he doesn't spend it on good equipment, but yet he wants to blame me. He's got a fucked up headset, and it's causing problems with our recordings over the last couple of weeks. So, yeah, I did want to tell the people that. I'm glad you gave me a nice little reminder, asshole. How's that sound? Was that good enough for you?
Anyway.
Yeah, anyway. Anyway, my ass, okay? How's that sound?
Well, so we're in the Knoxville Civic Coliseum studio. You know, this episode 10 is, you know, it's not my favorite Smoky Mountain episode that we've done by a long shot. I do think that if you put this one up against some of the current product, it still holds up well. So we may be a little harder on this episode than the last episode. But you know, we're grading these episodes against their other Smoky Mountain shows. So and we also have a match that's missing, but we'll get to that at the end. So anyway, you want to take us to the desk where we get Dutch and Bob telling us what we can expect to see tonight?
I sure do. So opening promo, we got Dutch and Bob on the show where they tell us we are going to see the debut of Dixie Dynamite, which I swear, Doc, Cornette stole this from JJ from Good Times. And Dutch then tells us how in the main event tonight he's going to defeat Primetime Brian Lee and earn his rightful place in the upcoming Volunteer Slam tournament. Bob Cottle also seems to be a little pissy about the fact that Jim Cornette still hasn't announced his tag team. Doc, you get the impression that Bob Cottle's a little salty regarding that Cornette is jerking his chain, so to say?
Well, Bob is playing babyface here. He's sticking up for the good fans in the Eastern Tennessee tri-state area, and he's just trying to get Cornette to stick to his word and tell us who this tag team is. By the way, I know who it is. Do you want me to tell everybody?
No, I don't want you to spoil anything at this point. So shut the fuck up, okay?
Do you think we're going to find out soon?
We will be finding out very, very soon. How's that sound?
I hope it's in this episode.
Well, we shall see. So we go to the first match of the afternoon or the evening. It's Dixie Dynamite against Barry Horowitz.
Now, Dixie Dynamite is in a mask. You want me to tell everybody who it is?
Well, you don't have to tell everybody who it is, but let me tell you this. As Dixie Dynamite makes his way to the ring, we see a kid with a pacifier cheering on the mask guy who's got a mask that's red, white, and blue. And he's also got a Confederate flag draped on him like a cape. Bob and Dutch are discussing where this Dixie Dynamite guy is from when Dutch says, let's deduce this from him right away. Obviously, he's from the South. Bob Cottle says, now, wait a minute, Dutch. What's the IQ that it took to figure that out? dude, we want to stop here for a second and talk about the Confederate flag.
And I was joking earlier, Dixie Dynamite does get unmasked later, you know, not later tonight or anytime soon, but, you know, well down the road, he does get unmasked and we do get to see who it is. I won't say who it is, but we do get that identity does get revealed and paid off further down the line. Wow, it's one of those things where, you know, back on the BTT show a while back, we talked about
things you could do and things you couldn't do.
Right, and even there was problems with some things with Coco Ware and Jesse Ventura back in probably the late 80s. You know, if you're going to do a Confederate gimmick, I would assume that Eastern Tennessee is probably one of the safer places to do it. And the fact that he's a babyface doing it says a lot, I think. Tracy Smothers does a similar I guess similar, imagery and gimmick later on, and maybe somewhat still to this day, to be honest with
He
you.
is still doing it with the Confederate flag gimmick, and
But don't.
he's getting a lot of heat in the South, at least when he works for Wildcat Sports down there.
Well, and so the thing is that we've talked about a couple of things recently. One is, the difference between racism in wrestling versus in real life, and also things you can do then that you couldn't do today. And I think, if we're going to draw the line at poor taste, wrestling becomes a pretty lonely place at that point. So we'll just choose to overlook his Confederate gimmick at this point and move into the match with Barry Horowitz. I do think it's funny that he's fighting a man who appears to be Jewish in his debut match.
I'm a big obviously Horowitz fan, but I do want to say one thing about the whole Confederate gimmick. Here's the thing. Wrestling is like a movie that just continuously happens week to week. It's episodic though. It's a television show. We have to real like I'm not going to say you'd probably roll out on Monday Night Raw right now a Confederate flag type gimmick, but we do need to realize that this is a work. I mean, it's not real. So,
Wait,
and
what? Wait, what?
it's a work, obviously. So we need to realize that and embrace it. Look, I'm all for entertainment in the sport of professional wrestling. If you're gonna do some racy stuff, and I'm not saying go out there and call somebody the N-word and hang a black man, while you hold up the Confederate flag, but I am saying you do need to pull on the strings of emotion of your fan base. Now that's not what's happening here, but I say all that to say, there's no way you pull this gimmick off nowadays on a national stage in like a WWE. Maybe a smaller independent, because I know Tracy Smothers wears a Confederate singlet, but not you're not going to do this on national TV. Like
And
TNA would never do this, and Raw and WWE would never do this.
before we get any kind of idea that we're putting it down, let me tell you this. I'm not putting down Tracy Smothers in the least. Tracy Smothers may be one of my favorite guys in the whole Smoky Mountain run, and I'm ready for him to get his ass into the territory. So
Yeah, me too. So
there's that.
let's go back to the match. We wanted to poke some fun at, because we'll find out later who Dixie Dynamite is, but not later in this show, but later on down the line. Dutch continues with how he's going to pin Primetime Brian Lee later and take his spot in the Volunteer Slam Heavyweight Tournament. And they may as well call it the Mantel Slam instead of the Volunteer Slam for the Heavyweight Tournament. We're back to the match. They're putting Horowitz over, basically, and how he's very experienced as a wrestler, and that Dixie Dynamite certainly has a tough task in this one. There's a good bit of back and forth here in the beginning between the two. They fight outside, they come back in the ring. Dixie goes to the top rope and hits a nice crossbody on Horowitz. Then he hits a nice arm drag, but then Horowitz takes back over and gets some heat on Dixie Dynamite. He tries to use the ropes at one point to get the pin on Dixie Dynamite, but the referee catches him, in true heel fashion, use the ropes. Horowitz continues getting the heat on Dixie for basically most of the match. We get a shot of the regular Smoky Mountain old lady in the front row giving Horowitz the business. I
Did
forgot
you
to.
hear what did you hear what Horowitz said back to her?
No, what did he say?
He said, "Shut up, you old bag."
That's a good heel back in the day with the good Southern people. I also forgot to mention at the beginning of this match, as Dixie was coming out, the old lady gave Dixie a big old hug and kiss, a big old sloppy one. We then start working towards the finish of the match when Dixie shoots off Horowitz. Horowitz reverses Dixie Dynamite. Dixie Dynamite comes off the ropes and goes kind of like sideways over Horowitz. Horowitz turns around when Dixie hits him with what Bob Cottle calls the Confederate kick, which is a super kick. Doc, your thoughts on Dixie Dynamite and the match?
Well, it's an okay match. I'm not a huge Dixie Dynamite fan like Barry Horowitz. I think Dutch calls him the most underrated guy in the business. I know you feel similar. It was okay. Okay, I mean it's one of those things. Dixie Dynamite will be around. He's going to be in the tournament. Did you hear the commentary from Dutch during the match? Dutch's list of accomplishments when he was a younger man.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that. He starts talking about how he was
Worked a
a
full He worked
go
a full
ahead.
time job, had graduated third in his class, lettered in four different sports, and probably one hairiest man in the senior class too. bet.
Yeah, I bet he was. He really put himself over as a typical heel normally does. We go to another promo with Bullet Bob. This is at the desk, but it's just Bullet Bob at this point. And I thought this was going to be one of those say no to drugs promos that you and I lived through in the 80s and early 90s as we were growing up. But no, this was Cornette and Bullet Bob Armstrong burying the fuck out of WWF and WCW and their body guys on steroids. Bullet Bob says, Smoky Mountain Wrestling is definitely against steroids. Some wrestling promotions around the country want their wrestlers to look like a statue or man mountain, as he says. He says, I'm calling for the kids in this country to say no to drugs. If anybody out there cares like we care, we want to help out and tell them don't take drugs. He caps it off with how it takes hard work, and he alludes to how steroids can't make up for hard work. Thoughts on this one, Doc, from Bullet Bob?
Doc says do drugs. all of them. Snort them, shoot them, smoke them.
You got a lot of experience in that area, don't you?
I'm a man of the people, and the people like their drugs. That's all I'm saying.
So we go to the next match. We got Tim Horner against TJ Travis. Horner makes his entrance to the ring, and Dutch sees the entrance and says, it takes a lot of guts to hug that woman right there. It's the same old woman with the red sweater that Dixie Dynamite hugged and that Barry Horowitz called an old bag. Bob Cottle says, that's somebody's mama, Dutch. As the match starts, Dutch says the only reason Horner is in the voluntary slam tournament for the Smoky Mountain Wrestling heavyweight title is because Horner is a fair-headed boy. The way Dutch sees it,
I would say that the only reason he's in the tournament is because he's got a minority ownership stake. But that's
I don't want to say this, but. Dude, I was watching a couple of episodes ahead of this, and there's no spoiler that I'm going to say anything about Horner. But let me just say this. For a guy who can't cut a promo to save his fucking life, this dude gets more mic time than anyone should ever get mic time on these episodes. But anyway, we're going to say more later about that. So he calls Tim Horner a fair-headed boy, which I thought was hilarious. The way Dutch sees it is the reason Dutch is not in the tournament is because Dutch speaks his mind, and the establishment doesn't like that because Dutch speaks out, whereas Horner is a suck-up to the establishment. Do I need to stop here before I get into the match? Okay, I'll take that as a no. So the match continues with TJ Travis getting some heat on Horner because then Bob Cottle then says the biggest lie you'll ever hear in Smoky Mountain is when he says we saw an interesting personality profile last week on Horner, and we encourage all of you fans to write in and tell us who you'd like to see next.
You know who I'd like to see next?
Who?
Not Tim Horner.
Well, I need to stop here for a second because he says we saw an interesting personality profile last week on Horner, and we encourage all you fans to write in and tell us who you'd like to see next. Dude, I'm really starting to believe that they're ribbing Horner, that this is a rib. And I know he had some leadership role in the promotion, but I'm starting to think it was a rib of some sort. I don't know. I just – because that last week, giving that dude 4 minutes of TV time to sing that fucking hokey horseshit bullshit was...
Hey, some of our listeners like country music. You should back off.
I'm not burying country music. I'm burying Tim Horner singing. There's a difference between the two.
Oh, that was awful, yeah.
Back to the match, though. Dutch says, I'm the one they want to see, referring to the next personality profile. It just was terrible watching that last week, so I commend Dutch for jumping in right there. We continue with the match where Horner does a head scissors onto TJ Travis, and when Travis goes to take the bump, he is spiked on his head. It really looked brutal at about the 15-20 mark. Travis comes back and gets some offense not far after that, but then Horner turns things around and gets the natural bridge, which is, again, the slowest motion of a move you'll ever see from a finisher. Doc, do you have any thoughts on this before we continue and move past Tim Horner?
Well, I'd like to say that we're going to move past Tim
That's
Horner.
That's why I said that.
but unfortunately, we can't get away from this guy. So let's go ahead and head over to the desk where we have Larry Curley and Mo of promo cutting.
The Eye of Gibson is not going to like this, but we got a – You know what I'm waiting for before I get into this? Whoever creates a fake Tim Horner account, a parody account. As I'm thinking about it, we got Tim Horner at the desk, we got Robert Gibson at the desk, and we got Primetime Brian Lee. I swear this is a rib to keep putting these guys in promos. And I love one of them. His work in the ring is fabulous, Gibson. I don't think Primetime Brian Lee is bad either. I just
he's not he's green. He looks and feels green.
Yeah,
but that doesn't mean that, you know, he's just being put in a bad spot when they keep sticking a mic in front of his face.
Yeah, exactly. This is just terrible from that point of view. So Horner cuts a promo on the upcoming Volunteer Slam. This guy has no clue what he wants to say. Is my notes that I have here. He keeps telling us, I tell you what, over and over. Stop telling me I'll tell you what, Horner. Then Horner says, friends mean friends, but business means business. Can we just keep the microphone away from Tim? And when he says friends means friends and business means business, he's referring to the fact that in the Volunteer Slam, he may have to fight like a Gibson or a Primetime Brian Lee if they advance as baby faces against him. But it's just the delivery of it that's fucking horrible. Keep the mic away from him. I'm sure Tim was a really nice dude. I'm sure he was a great guy. But this is pathetic. I mean, if this was a way to help pump up and promote the Volunteer Slam, please, next time, just stick the microphone on the toilet lid and flush that bitch. I mean, the sounds from the flush will have a better cadence and rhythm than Tim Horner could or would ever have shown in a promo. I mean, as Cornette always says, this guy couldn't draw money with the green or full box of green crayons and nothing else. Doc, your thoughts?
Well, they need a manager. Those three guys need somebody who can cut a promo for them. And if they're not going to get a manager, which I know a lot of baby faces don't have managers, we need to hurry up and send a note out for Ricky Morton to get here so that he can get there and talk for this group.
Dude, when you sit there and look at these guys, you need someone with emotion. Now, Primetime Brian Lee does have emotion when he's cutting his
but
problem,
he gets flustered. He gets flustered.
He gets confused with what he's trying to say. Horner has no emotion, nor does he know what he wants to say. Gibson knows what he wants to say. He just can't deliver it because that's just not his thing.
Well, and you know, we talked about whether it's a rib or whether or not he gets the mic because he's got ownership. But my note was, how bad is Primetime and Gibson if they decide that Horner is the best option to give the mic to?
Right, because those two never said anything during that segment. So anyway,
they just stood there like fucking jackoffs.
Yeah, pretty much. Let's move to the next segment, which is Jim Cornette. You know, we again teasing the whole tag team thing. Now we're in week 10. Bob Cottle welcomes Jim to the desk because we're at the back of the desk as normal for an interview about his tag team that he continues to fuck with the good fans of Smoky Mountain Wrestling about. As we're now, like I said, in week 10, and he still hasn't shown us who they are. Before Jim Cornette can address his tag team, we see a shot of a guy in the front row that looked like just an average dude to me. He didn't look like he was special or missing any, you know, any brain cells.
I bet you that guy's name was Carl.
I bet you it was too, or Joe. He didn't look mentally special to me, but Jim Cornette digs in and says, look at this guy. Intermarriage does have a humorous side to it. Cornette is so awesome. Anyway, Bob Cottle then says, what's up with your tag team, Cornette? And Cornette says, we had some problems again, but let's go to the tape to see what happened. Now, I can't remember because I didn't make a note, but I think Bob Cottle at that point when he says, let's go to the tape, is like, you motherfucker. Like, the face he makes is, you can't be kidding. You got to be kidding me. We're going to a tape again? So we go to a tape, and we've got this news reporter. I think his name's Phil Rainey again, and he's saying he's with Cornette again, and Jim Cornette is going to show him who the new tag team is. Cornette peeps from around this building corner and is mad at Rainey, who is on the street of where the hotel is, and Jim Cornette says, it's too dangerous to be out here, Rainey. I can't bring the team to you. So what he does is he brings the news reporter, Rainey, into the hotel. He says, Rainey, I'm going to bring you to the team, not the team to you, since that hadn't been working. They head upstairs to the hotel. Jim Cornette says, look, these guys are in the room. Here's the key to the greatness, as Cornette alludes. And he's actually holding the physical key to the room and says, this is it. He's about to open it. Jim Cornette opens the door when a great wholesome looking rat, ring rat from the 80s and 90s, jumps out and says, hey, who are you? What do you want? Get out of here. One of them even throws her lingerie at Jim Cornette by accident and then comes back out of the room to grab it from Cornette and basically tells Jim Cornette to beat it and get the hell out of there. Doc, I'm going to stop for a second. Any thoughts about the ring rats? And
the ring rat, her name was definitely Tammy or Tammy Lynn. But also, you notice that while that's probably a hotel the boys stayed at, it wasn't as luxurious as you might want to present in that kind of a vignette, I thought. So, anyway.
I guess. I didn't psychoanalyze it in that fashion like you, being that you've run your own promotion and know how to book the territory. We then return back to Bob Cottle and Jim Cornette at the desk. Bob Cottle says, "Do you have a team or what?" Jim Cornette says, "Of course I have a team. I've got a lot of problems that... But you just can't bring a team like that out around these yahoos, And furthermore, if I bring my team out, there's going to be no tournament because this team is full of two stars." However, Jim Cornette then promises that next week they will appear. It won't be a tape, but they will be appearing live. So he's making a promise. Then he says, "I'm about to tell you something, Bullet Bob Armstrong. I want extra security, maybe the National Guard. I want extra police, and most of all, I want these fat, corn-fed women in the audience to have seatbelts on their chairs because I'm afraid when they get in the ring, when his team gets in the ring, that these fat, cornbread women will drool all over themselves, and it'll get all over the TV equipment, and we'll all be electrocuted." He wraps it up and emphatically says, "Next week they will be here." Doc, you want to elaborate?
I don't know. I don't want to spoil anything, but he says they'll be here next week. I guess we'll have to tune in next week and see.
I guess we will have to see. So we won't spoil anything, but I will tell you.
You got to think about it. Eventually we've got a tag team tournament that they're working. They're in the middle of. So he's either going to have to produce a team or forfeit.
Right, it's happening. It's coming. Let me say that. And I don't want to say when it'll happen, but it's obviously getting closer and closer. But again, we got a slow burn here, which is a beautiful thing. You know what I mean?
How do you keep an idiot in suspense?
And you're an idiot, so you would know. We got a Killer Kyle promo here, which is there's not much to this. We're back at the world famous Smoky Mountain Wrestling desk with Dutch and Bob Cottle. Bob Cottle says a lot of fans are wondering why Big Killer Kyle is not in the Volunteer Slam. So earlier today, Bob Cottle says, "I asked him why, and here are the results." So they cut away to the interview. Bob Cottle looks at Killer Kyle and he says, "Why did you not enter the tournament? The fans want to know." Killer Kyle doesn't respond. Bob Cottle then says, "What's in the violin case?" No answer from Killer Kyle. Bob Cottle says, "We now know nothing more than we knew a few minutes ago." Doc, my only note here was, this was really lame, and if it doesn't go anywhere, it's even lamer. But whatever. Smoky Mountain can't do everything right 100% of the time. However, it's still a great promotion. It just was a terrible promo. They're filling time, obviously. You got anything before I keep moving to the match?
I can't comment because he didn't say anything.
He said nothing. So we then go to the match, which is now Killer Kyle.
You know what? Killer Kyle ought to go give Tim Horner promo lessons.
He probably could do so. So we go to Killer Kyle, who is facing off against Keith Hart. And before the match starts, Bob Cottle says, "This is a strange guy. He's a loner He's referencing Killer Kyle as a loner." Dutch says, "If Bob Cottle wouldn't have been conducting the interview with Killer Kyle and Dutch would have been conducting it, that Killer Kyle would have been more receptive because Dutch is a wrestler and he could have gotten the answers out of him." Bob Cottle says, "What were you going to do, Dutch? Put him in a headlock and squeeze it out of him?"
Bob Cottle's fighting back here.
He was, man. He got aggressive.
Bob Cottle's feisty because he ain't getting his tag team from Corny, and now Dutch is giving him shit. He's like, enough of this bullshit.
Bob Cottle says, "You ever look into Killer Kyle's eyes? He's a mean-looking guy." Dutch says, "No, I'm Stevie Wonder. I've never looked into his eyes." "Of course I've looked into his eyes, Bob Cottle." Cottle continues with, "This guy is weird, Dutch." I made a note. I don't know if they're building something here with this weird exchange, but it does make me wonder. The match is going on. There's a couple of moves from Hart as he ducks under Killer Kyle after Kyle shoots him off. Hart then hits Kyle with a drop kick, which only staggers Killer Kyle. But then on the second drop kick, after Kyle doesn't bump on the first. Hart misses the second one, and he takes like a face bump. Dutch starts piping in with insults about Keith Hart at this point and says, you know what's the matter with Keith Hart? He's from Oak Ridge, Tennessee. And I think he's been around that nuclear reactor so long that the radiation has killed his brain cells. I'm going to stop here for a second. I'm going to assume at that point in time that there was really a nuclear plant near Oak Ridge. Neither one of us from Tennessee. I've never even been to Tennessee, so I don't really know. But anyway, I just thought I'd point that out.
I wonder if he lived downwind from it.
Probably so, according to Dutch. They've positioned Kyle as a monster here in this match. There was a pretty impressive move here from Killer Kyle. First thing he did was they were on the outside, and I found this to be extremely impressive. Killer Kyle overhead presses Hart on the outside of the ring over the top rope. So what I mean is Killer Kyle's on the outside. He presses him and he throws him in over the top. And he tossed him pretty good. And then the other thing, there was another move that Hart does. When Hart comes off the top rope, Killer Kyle literally catches him in a bear hug, which to catch any man, you know, more than 150 pounds throwing his body at you and catch him in a bear hug where his feet don't hit the ground, it's pretty damn impressive. I mean, I'm willing to bet you could take your 4-year-old and have him do that, and it would be hard to catch him. You would do it, but I mean, you'd feel it. So I just found it to be pretty impressive. He showed his power, you know, his power. To finish off the match, Killer Kyle then plants him in a spine buster, which Bob Cottle and Dutch call a rub out. Kyle gets the pin here in 3 minutes and 34 seconds. You got any thoughts from this before we move to the next match?
What are your thoughts on his finishing move, the name of his finishing move there?
Well, I think it's becoming apparent, and we're starting to see it a lot. So we had the Confederate kick in this episode, and we have the rub out in this episode.
Yeah, but the rub out means like he's in there rubbing one out. Come on now.
I don't know the rub out. But anyway, they're calling these moves they're giving these finishers all kinds of weird names. So whatever. It's cool. I was fine.
At least when somebody applies the finisher, the other person stays down and gets pinned.
Yeah, you don't have 50 million kickouts. That's for damn sure. We're in week 10. I don't think I've seen one false finish yet at this point. Next segment, we got Paul Orndorff in a promo. This is a repeat from the previous week where Orndorff is complaining about why he can't use the pile driver. And Orndorff wants to get to the bottom of it, but Orndorff reiterates that he doesn't need the pile driver to win the heavyweight tournament. Bob Cottle then reiterates the rules about the over-the-top rope DQs, low blows being a DQ, and the pile driver. And remember, it's also an automatic $500 fine if you hit a referee or use a foreign object during the match. I kind of laughed here because I noticed a stipulation where it says during the match. So maybe you can use a foreign object after you've lost or won, since that's not during the match. We'll find out later on that that's not quite possible.
Pin somebody and then pull out a fucking chain and wrap that shit around your knuckles and go to work.
You pin somebody and pull out a blade and slice them. I don't know.
There you can pull, cut their head clean off.
I've seen dudes who are scared to juice let somebody else gig them. And let's just say if you've ever seen a fish be filleted, that's what it looks like.
You ever let anybody get some juice on you?
You mean somebody cut me?
Yeah.
No, I would never allow that. That ain't happening.
Let me just tell you, BT, Mike's forehead looks like Abdullah the Butcher from his Ring Wars in the mid to late 90s. So, I mean, I stash my leftover nickels and dimes in the crevices of his forehead. So
I call bullshit on that.
You're talking about a guy who washed the Gulf Coast in his own hepatitis infected blood in the late 90s. So.
Or whatever.
He's an expert on how to do this.
You know, it's funny. Most wrestlers are going to take that as you putting them over. They're like, sure did, brother. Anyway, it's not true. I did not juice that much. We get a promo on the tag title tournament. It's just a quick update. And when I say promo, Bob Cottle gives us an update and says that the Maulers and the Fantastics won, so they'll fight each other in the semifinals of the tournament. And we have two more opening round fights with the Koloffs versus Nitro Danny Davis and Joey Maggs, and the Batten Twins versus Jim Cornette's team, whoever that is going to be. Now, I thought the tournament was going to continue this week, but apparently it's not. So, yeah, there's that. Next, we have a match with the Dirty White Boy against Paul Miller. Dirty White Boy's music hits as he rolls his prestigious manager, Mr. Ron Wright, to the ring. The two exchange some heartfelt kind words before Dirty White Boy gets into the ring. Ron Wright obviously has coached up the Dirty White Boy and has given him some last-minute instructions. Dutch praises the Dirty White Boy for his compassion that the Dirty White Boy has for Ron Wright. As the match gets started, Dutch Mantel talks about how the Dirty White Boy is a franchise player as he praises how good of a person he is and how good of a wrestler he is. Now, I'm going to stop for a second because I want to say this about this Paul Miller guy. Paul Miller looks like a talented dude. His moves are really crisp. He really looks good. He's got a lot of talent. I'm hoping they do something more with him, but we'll see. I say that because he's done nothing but jobs to this point.
He won.
That's true. He beat the Black Scorpion on episode one. I forgot about that. Okay. All right, you're right. Well, but still, I mean, even that point, he won that match, but he's still considered an enhancement talent. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah.
Okay. So,
but yeah, I mean, I like him. And at some point when they come in with the Beat the Champ TV title kind of angle, they have some enhancement guys win it. I don't remember if he's one of them, and I don't remember kind of how his career arc goes, but I agree. He certainly has a promise there.
Yeah, I just like him, man. I mean, he looks talented. I mean, his moves are crisp and clean. He seems to bump really good, and he sells great. Something about the guy. I'd never seen him until, you know, that's one of the great things about Smoky Mountain. You don't know who these guys are that we're coming across, and you're finding some gems. I mean, like, I knew who Rip Rogers was, for example, but just kind of watching him in Smoky Mountain, and I saw more of him here in – you know, I see that he can cut a promo. I see how good he really is in the ring, you know. And it's just like the guys like him and Paul Miller that you discover a little bit more about. That's cool. Even Dirty White Boys, we're talking about this. So let me continue.
Hell, you didn't really know who Ron Wright was, to be fair.
I fully admit it. I mean, I did not know. I mean, what do you want me to say? As the match moves along, Dutch Mantel says the only person that is real competition in the upcoming Smoky Mountain heavyweight tournament is the Dirty White Boy. Dutch Mantel says, I'm just looking ahead. Bob Cottle says, well, wait a minute. What about Horner and Gibson? Dutch Mantel says, line them up and I'll whoop those two like the dogs that they are. Dutch Mantel then says he's got so much confidence, he's got confidence to burn, to which Bob Cottle chuckles and couldn't keep a straight face, which I thought was pretty awesome. Did you not?
Mm-hmm.
He was great. Dirty White Boy then gets Miller into a move that looks like it starts in a position of an atomic drop, but is modified into a bit of a choke slam as the Dirty White Boy grabs Miller by the throat. Bob Cottle calls it the Buck Snort Blaster, which seems so fitting for a move in wrestling in the days of the territories. Dirty White Boy gets the 1-2-3 on Miller with that move. The crowd seems really dead during the match. Not that the match was bad, but they were quiet by comparison to the previous week's main event with the tag tournament match and just in general. I did miss one comment earlier, actually, that I wanted to say. Dutch Mantel says something about the blanket over Ron Wright's legs and says something about, you never know when a chill might come through the air in these buildings.
that was a really nice touch for him to have the blanket, and B, it puts him over as being a frail old man. And you know, there's always at every family gathering, you know, that you've ever been to, there's a grandma or an auntie or somebody who's got a chill over there, and they pop or whatever. They got to have themselves a blanket on their legs so that they don't catch a chill, you know.
Can you get this old person there? Baby, it's a little chilly in here. You got a blanket I could throw over myself? Like, just drink some coffee, old hag.
Come on now.
I'm just joking. I'm trying to be funny, man. What are your thoughts on everything before we move to the promo that we're about to get into?
Well, I mean, Paul Miller does a good job. I mean, Dirty White Boy is going to be certainly a factor. He's going to be, if not the one of the top heels. I'm getting ready to sneeze. Y'all get a chance to listen to that on air. This podcast. Never mind. I fought it back because I'm a supreme athlete.
What the fuck ever.
So, you know, it's a really nice pairing to have Ron Wright and Dirty White Boy together because they're both devilish characters. And, you know, it really does become evident the strength of the pairing after the match when we go over to Cottle, who's ready for them to come over and cut their promo, because this is to me the high point of the episode.
This is the apex of the episode for sure. So we go to a promo. Dirty White Boy and Ron Wright roll to the desk where Bob Caudle is waiting for them, the world famous Smoky Mountain Wrestling desk. Dutch Mantel says, "I'm heading off for my main event with Primetime Brian Lee." So Dutch Mantel leaves the desk area, but Bob Caudle starts the interview and says, "Mr. Ron Wright, you gotta be happy with this guy." And he's pointing to the Dirty White Boy, obviously. Ron Wright says, "I'm a fed up with these no-good lying hillbilly wrestling fans around here. I've given several weeks to get down and get their checkbooks out, and I've given them the address on the TV to send in their checks and their donations to get my hip surgery and my open heart surgery. And I've not had diddly squat sent in yet. I've never been so disgusted and disappointed in these hillbilly rednecks in my life." The Dirty White Boy says, "Calm down, sir. Sir, calm down. Don't you worry." And he has emotion when I say that from the Dirty White Boy as he's telling him to calm down. There's no reason to get upset. He says May 15th is coming, but we'll find out. It's actually on May 22nd. He quotes the wrong date. "The Volunteer Slam is coming." He says he has no problem beating Gibson or Horner. And then he mocks Primetime Brian Lee and says he's not worried. Doc, I'm going to stop for a second. Dirty White Boy can cut a promo.
He can. You know? He can. And, you know, he's convincing. He's got, like you said, emotion. You got to wonder if it's kind of that early balding kind of look that he didn't get a bigger shot in other places.
Let me tell you, he looks good in the ring. Now, we haven't seen a lot of him yet. But the other thing he's really, really good at is promos. And I got to be honest, there's a lot of guys who made a lot of money in the wrestling business just off of the fact that they could cut a promo, and they weren't great workers. So, yeah, it's a little – you kind of wish that he might have gotten a better shake at things, because he is a vicious promo. And, you know, this is not a spoiler. I think it was. Wasn't it the great Brian Last when we had him on that he talked about how great the Dirty White Boy was in Smoky Mountain Wrestling?
He said that – yeah, he did. He said that he preferred him as a heel to his babyface persona. But I'm a guy who even likes that quite a bit, because I think there's some compelling storylines with him as a later on as a babyface.
Okay, so yeah, I mean, but the point is, Dirty White Boy, at this point, him and Ron Wright are the stars of the show weekly, along with Dutch. You know, I can't say Dutch hidden, because Dutch on the mic is gold. So in this, the promo's still going on when the Dirty White Boy says, you know. Well, he's mocking Primetime Brian Lee. Primetime Brian Lee walks out. He makes his appearance. He says, "I tell you one thing, White Boy. You stand out here and you run your mouth about how no man can beat you. Well, I know that a man on this earth can beat me, and it's not you. And I hope in the tournament we get to come down and find out who the real man is between us." Dirty White Boy says, "Yeah, we'll see," as Primetime Brian Lee walks off the set. Ron Wright then says, "I'm glad you're a gentleman, brother, and didn't squash him just now." That's so awesome. Two things here, Doc. I'll let you talk first.
Well, the real – to me, you can see guys that are really know how to work. When you watch a guy at the promo desk – who's reacting to what's happening versus trying to remember lines, the reactions are organic and real and create better emotion. And I thought White Boy here was awesome, because he gave a look like he didn't know Prime, and maybe he didn't, that Primetime was coming out. So he just kind of, he was in the middle of the sentence and kind of did a chuckle and said, "Oh, what's up? You want some kind of thing?" And I thought it was just a real nice organic touch to the promo that made it seem like, well, I wasn't planning on you to be out here, but we could do that too. And then it just gets followed up by Primetime Brian Lee flubbing his line and burying himself.
It was awesome on so many levels, because Brian Lee just I like Primetime Brian Lee. I don't have anything against him, but he's the delivery was just I tell you one thing, white boy. You stand out here and you run your mouth about how no man can beat you. Well, you know that a man on – well, I know that a man on this earth can beat me, and it's not you. He didn't even need to say that. All he had to do was come out and emphatically say, you stand out here and run.
He just admitted that he can be beat.
Right, and you're a baby face, so why are you saying that? Just come out and say, look – I tell you what, you stand out here and you run your mouth about how you're going to beat me. Well, guess what? We're going to see in that tournament who can beat who, and I'm going to beat your ass. And that's it. That's all he had to say. But he it was like he was – you said it earlier in this episode. He's just – he gets fumbled in his words, and then he loses where he's at, and it just doesn't come off good. But anyway.
Because we still haven't pieced together what we're about to not see.
Well, I've pieced it together at this point. So apparently Dutch and Primetime Brian Lee, obviously they've said it, they were supposed to be in the main event here on TV. So I'm not sure what happened with the actual match, but on the copy we have, I'm sorry, I didn't see the actual match on the copy we have because it got cut off. Now, the actual match, from what I know, Primetime Brian Lee did get the win in the match, and he did keep his spot in the heavyweight title tournament. However, as far as at the beginning of the match, the dirty white boy but he comes out and clocks Primetime Brian Lee before the match starts.
How's that not cheating?
With the chair. Well, again, I meant he wasn't in the match, so I guess it is cheating, but he wasn't fighting him. It was supposed to be Dutch Mantel, and it was Dutch Mantel who was standing in the ring. So this happened before the match, though. Dirty white boy clocks Primetime Brian Lee with a chair. When he goes to clock him a second time, Bullet Bob comes out like he's about to bust some ass. Now, I saw this because it's on the next episode, so I'm not spoiling anything. This is actually what was going to be here, but it got cut off in this episode. So, Primetime Brian Lee does win. How it happened, I'm not really sure, but he does win, and he does keep his spot in the tournament. So, evidently, Primetime Brian Lee, you know, he'll be there, and Dutch, at this point at least, it seems that Dutch is not going to be in the tournament. So, a little confusing because it got cut off.
So let me ask you this, because we're starting to head towards the slam, and at the slam we're going to figure out who the – you know, we started with the tag tournament. We've had some pretty good matches there and learned about some guys. You know, who do you think are the leading contenders to walk out of the Volunteer Slam to be the first Smoky Mountain champion are?
You got to believe Primetime Brian Lee would be, just for how they're building him. You got to believe that Dirty White Boy would definitely be one of them. And you got to believe that Orndorff would probably be another one at this stage. I cannot sink my teeth into Tim Horner or Gibson winning it. And Gibson, I could see winning it from a talent perspective and how good he is just in a ring. Tim Horner, So I don't know. I named four different guys, but yeah, I'd have to say if I had to go with one over the other, and I don't know. To me, it would either be Dirty White Boy or Primetime Brian Lee if I had to take a guess at this stage. Maybe Paul Orndorff, too, okay. because of what's going on. But, you know, you never know. I lean towards – here's the thing. I haven't watched the Volunteer Slam. I've watched the Head of Smoky Mountain. I don't actually know who wins. So as I say that, I'm you know, I don't want your prediction because I know you know who wins.
Yeah, I don't. Anyway. It's not a prediction. I know who wins. But right, I'm just curious because we've got – a lot of guys that are getting established here, but I was just wondering what you thought so far. Okay.
Yeah, so we're going to hand out some disability checks now, Doc. I am going to hand out 6.5 checks. What are you handing out?
Well, you know, it's not the episode's fault, but we didn't get to see the main event, so that certainly hurts my rating. I was pretty keyed up on after the last episode of the tag team tournament, so it felt like kind of a disappointment to not continue with that and head down the first round bracket. So that's kind of gonna have to take away some government cheese there. Dirty White Boy and Ron Ryder, obviously, you know, carrying a heavy portion of the water right now. Corny in a hotel room with ring rats is always enough to put some more government cheese back in the cupboard. So I'm going to settle on a 5.25. It sounds harsh, I know, but I'm just telling you, we had a really hot episode last week. I don't want to give any spoilers away, but next week, episode 11 is another hot episode. This one just felt like kind of a misstep along the way. But again, this 5.25, I rewatched this episode last Monday night while Raw was on so that I'd be, you know, ready to do this. And I found myself again on a second time watching a Smoky Mountain episode more engaged in one that's not one of my favorites than I was what was going on the big screen there. So,
yeah, you got to admit the Dirty White Boy and Ron Wright, that promo kind of really helped things out on this week's episode. And I mean, Cornette's wasn't bad. It wasn't that it was bad or great. It just was, it carried the story along a little bit more with his team that's coming out. I mean, we had some bad stuff with Tim Horner, but what's new? It's becoming a running joke, and we got to see who Dixie Dynamite was, at least the mask guy. I want to say, man, if you're listening to us and this is your first time, we would appreciate if you would subscribe to us however you get your podcast, whether it's iTunes, Podbean, or Stitcher, Podcast Addict, TuneIn Radio. We're pretty much on every type of platform you can find podcast on. And if it's on iTunes and Stitcher, we'd appreciate if you'd give us a nice little 5-star review and put us a nice comment there. It really means the world to us to know that you appreciate what we're doing. Also, follow us on Twitter. We're at @BTT_podcast. I'm at Mike504Saints, and then our Facebook page is facebook.com/bookingtheterritory. You can give us a like there as well. There are a couple ways to support the show. And I always spend a little bit of time here because I think, Doc, the Smoky Mountain Wrestling Podcast show is actually drawing better ratings than our normal shows that drop every Thursday night.
It's more fun to do.
So that really tells me a lot. It just tells me that people really appreciate what we're doing overall. And just the fact that they – not only do they appreciate what we're doing, but that Smoky Mountain really is a good wrestling product that Jim Cornette produced. So while we review Smoky Mountain Wrestling and Jim Cornette's great creation that we wish would have lasted, if you want to support us, you can go to mikemills.podbean.com, and there are a couple of things you can do. One is our Pro Wrestling Tees link is there at the top of the page. We have a Smoky Mountain Wrestling Podcast t-shirt, really nice, on our Pro Wrestling Tees store. You can also pick up a regular Book in the Territory Podcast t-shirt. There's a couple of different designs as well. That's one way of supporting the show if you'd like to get a t-shirt of ours. The other way to support the show is there is a Amazon referral link at the top of my page as well, mikemills.podbean.com. That Amazon referral link is a way to support the show if you purchase things through Amazon. We get a little bit in return from Amazon when you make a purchase. Not much, but it's anything that helps the show. And trust me, right now, with the technology issues we are experiencing, any little bit that you can contribute when purchasing things on Amazon would be helpful. And the last way to do so is in the show notes, there's a PayPal donation link. I'd appreciate it. Doc would appreciate it if you throw us a few bucks if you can. If not, no worries. It's a free podcast. We really enjoy talking Smoky Mountain Wrestling. So we will, and this show will always be free. Let me just say that. I will make that promise, especially if more people donate. So donate to the show, man. We'd really appreciate it. And hopefully you're enjoying what we're doing, and we'll continue to support us. So I don't have anything else, man. Doc, you ready to get up out of here until next week when we're covering episode 11?
Let's do it.
All right, everybody. So, as always, we play the promos at the end of the episode each and every week. So, you know, we always say, book it, bitch.
Fans, earlier today, Commissioner Bob Armstrong made a statement about a very serious problem facing this country, that of drug abuse. Let's hear right now what Mr. Armstrong had to say about it.
As Commissioner of Smoky Mountain Wrestling, I want to talk to you folks up close and personal today about a problem that's sweeping the country. It's been a problem for quite some time. And that's drug abuse. It affects us all in one way or another. We're here to fight drugs, and I want to say right now, for everybody to listen to, that Smoky Mountain Wrestling is definitely against the drug called steroids. Now, some of the wrestling promoters around the country, they believe that a man has to look like Man Mountain Dean. He looks like the statue on top of a mountain or something. We don't believe that it's how a man looks that counts. It's what a man can do in the ring that counts. How he looks doesn't make any difference to us. If he can wrestle, if he looks like 40 miles of bad road, we don't care. As long as he can wrestle, he's got a place in Smoky Mountain Wrestling. I want to say this to all you kids. It's very easy to grow up and take the shortcuts, but you don't get very far in life. It cuts your life short. When we come into this world, God gives us this body to do with what we want. And what we're telling you to do with it is say no to drugs. N-O, the smallest word in the English language. Two letters, N-O. That's all you've got to do. And you've got half the battle won right now. You can go to all our colleges and high schools, and you see the drug abuse problem. We at Smoky Mountain intend to fight that problem, and if there's anybody out there listening to me right now that cares like we care, call us. We want to help you. We want to help you fight drugs. We want to say to the kids throughout this country, not only Smoky Mountain area, but throughout the whole country and the world today, don't take the shortcuts. Hard work is the only answer. Hard work will get you where you want to go, brother, and you'll be a lot prouder when you get there.
Fans, we'll return to the action on Catch Fox 43 in just a moment, but first we have some fantastic news for you, all of you fans in and around Knoxville. Wrestling will return to Knoxville on Friday, May 15th. That's May 15th at the Civic Coliseum. It's going to be the Volunteer Slam, one-night tournament. That's going to be for the Smoky Mountain Wrestling heavyweight title. All of these guys and more will be entered. Tim?
Volunteer Slam. What a better name. What a better name. You might say I have the backyard advantage because it is kind of in my backyard. But I tell you what, it's going to be a tough one-night tournament. Not only are us, these three guys in it, and we already know we're in it. Yeah, we already qualified. But Dirty Dutch Mantell, Jimmy Golden, Paul Orndorff, and who knows who else, because everybody wants to come to Smoky Mountain Wrestling and get a shot at this title. But I tell you what, it's not going to be an easy road because the man who wins is going to have to wrestle three times. You know, that take That's a right. toll on a person's body. But I tell you what, I don't have to worry if it comes down to, say, me and my man Robert here or Prime Time, because I know if I have to step in the ring with him in that final match, I know it's going to be a wrestling match. I don't have to worry about Robert or Brian stabbing me in the back or taking a cheap shot. It'll be a wrestling match. But I tell you what, whoever is going to win, you know, we're all friends here, but, you know, friendship's friendship. Business is business.
Exactly. And it bails me money, right?
You know, that's right. They certainly do. Don't forget it. It's going to be in Knoxville as wrestling will return to the Civic Center Friday, May 15th for the Volunteer Slam. Don't miss that big event. All right, fans, we're going to try to get Jim Cornette out here again. Hey,
look at here. Proving once again, get a shot of that guy, get a shot of the face. Proving once again, intermarriage does have a humorous side to it.
Jim,
let me tell you something.
What about your tag team now? Let's get down to business, huh?
We had a lot of problems again this past week. Just go to the tape. I want you to see this, and then I'll have some comments on exactly what happened. Go to the tape.
Hello, wrestling fans. I'm Phil Rainey, and today, right here at one of Knoxville's finest hotels, Jim Cornette says that to the world and to you, Smoky Mountain wrestling fans, he plans to introduce his new tag team. Now,
what are you doing out here this?
I'm doing exactly.
You're right out in the middle of everywhere. Everybody can see you. You're in the front of the place. Listen, keep your voice down. Hide that camera. I don't want anything to go wrong this time. You're here out in the middle of daylight like you're on network television or something. Now, just follow me. Keep your voice down. Cameraman, put that thing under your coat. I don't want anything to mess up this time. Now, follow me and be quiet. Act like you got something about you, friends.
Oh, okay, guys.
Now, Phil, you better have kept your mouth shut this
time.
You
haven't said a word.
Cameraman. I don't want anything to spoil this. I'm fixing to introduce you to the greatest tag team in the universe, the next Smoky Mountain Wrestling Tag Team Champions. I decided it's too dangerous to bring these guys out to you.
Believe me, I'll do my job.
If you haven't been running your big mouth, I want you to know you can only stay a minute because these guys are training. They always work, never relax, and they're training right now.
I'm impressed. Let's go to work.
You see this?
This is the key
to greatness.
I hope so.
And in just a second, you're going to see the most awesome, dynamic team in the universe. I'm going to open this door right now.
I'm ready.
And boy,
we're ready.
Are you going to be shocked, I tell you what.
Hey, who are you? What do you want?
Hey.
Get out of here.
You've done it again.
Reveal these guys, Jim. Have you got a team?
Yes,
if so, when are we going to see them?
Oh, shut up. Of course I have a team. I've got a lot of problems. You know, you just can't come out here and bring these guys out like you can the rest of these yahoos in the tournament because there's problems connected with superstardom. But I tell you what, next week, right here on Smoky Mountain Wrestling, brother, I am not going to have a tape. I'm going to have my team here live because they're scheduled and they're going to be here, and I'm going back right now to tell Commissioner Bob Armstrong I want extra security, maybe the National Guard. I want extra police, and most of all, I want these fat, ugly, corn-fed women in the audience to have seat belts on a chair, because when these guys get in the ring, I'm afraid they'll drool all over themselves, it'll get on the TV equipment, and we'll all be electrocuted. Next week, they're going to be here.
All right, fans, we'll see about it next week. A lot of fans are wondering why Big Killer Kyle did not enter the tournament at the Volunteer Slam on May 15th. Well, earlier today, I asked that question of Kyle, and here are the results. Fans, this man, Killer Kyle, did not enter our heavyweight championship tournament. We wanted to ask Killer, Why did you not enter the tournament? The fans wanted to know why you're not in the tournament. Gee, well, about the violin case. What have you got in the violin case? Everybody's been wanting to know that. Fans, I apologize. We don't know any more than we did before we started. And now, fans, let's hear these words from Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff from his last appearance here a few weeks ago.
Fans, with me right now, world-renowned Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff. Paul, already, the Smoky Mountain Tournament, the word is getting around, and they're coming from all corners, and I know you're interested in that championship also.
Well, that's very true, you know, but still, I've been researching this thing a little bit more that I can't use a pile driver. Well, I just saw Bam Bam, what's his name out there, just do a move that could have broke somebody's neck. I saw a drop kick off the top rope that could have broke somebody's neck. And here's another guy that uses a neck breaker that could have broke somebody's neck. But Mr. Wonderful can't go out there and use a move that is known through all out the world, and that's the pile driver. I want to know why, and the people out there want to know why, that I can't use my pile driver when everybody else can use what they want to use. What's the deal down here, brother?
Commissioner Bob Armstrong has ruled it illegal, and you know, and I think all the wrestling fan knows, what a deadly move that is, Paul.
Well, let's face it, we're out here to win. I mean, we're not a bunch of little babies out here. I'm out here to win. You got Bam Bam up here running his mouth that there ain't a man out here that can beat him. Well, you know, I think the same way. I don't think there's a man out here that can beat me. But you know what, Mr. Wonderful's different. I don't need to use the pile driver. I got a lot of other moves that I can beat people with.
Fans, Paul Orndorff couldn't be here today, but he's still protesting the ban on the pile driver. And to refresh everyone's memories, let's take another look at the rules here in Smoky Mountain Wrestling. These are the rules for Smoky Mountain Wrestling as laid down by Commissioner Bob Armstrong. Grounds for automatic disqualification: throwing opponent over the top rope, a low blow, using a pile driver hold. Grounds for a DQ and $500 fine: hitting the referee and using a foreign object during the match. And fans, those are the rules for Smoky Mountain Wrestling, the rules set down by Smoky Mountain Commissioner Bob Armstrong.
Fans, here's an update on our Smoky Mountain Wrestling Tag Team Tournament. 2 weeks ago, the Maulers, Rip Morgan and Jack Victory, defeated Johnny and Davy Rich to advance to the second round. And then last week, the Fantastics defeated the Wild Bunch, so the Fultons advance as well. Now next week, two tournament matches are scheduled, and we may finally see Jim Cornette's team. And that's the standing so far in the tag team tournament in Smoky Mountain Wrestling.
Well, the Dirty White Boy with a big win. I'm getting ready right now for my big match with Brian Lee. But before I go, let me tell you right here how he won this match. The White Boy picked him up by the throat and just slammed him down. He just wallowed him down on the mat, just like I'm going to do Brian Lee coming up. And I'm going to tell you what, the White Boy, a big win right here on Smoky Mountain Wrestling.
Well, the Dirty White Boy fans and Mr. Ron Wright, you got to be happy with this guy.
But I tell you, I'm fed up with these no-good, lying, hillbilly wrestling fans around here. I've given them several weeks now to get down and get their checkbook out, and I've given them the address on TV to send their checks in and their donations to get my hip surgery and my open-heart surgery, and I've not had new diddly squat sit in yet. It's never so disgusting and disappointed in these hillbilly rednecks in my life.
Calm down. Don't get yourself upset. There's no reason for it. Because you know why there's no reason? May 15th, why? So, man, I can't wait. The 15th's coming, and it's getting the Volunteer Slam. Oh, yeah. Now, you can bring on people like Robert Gibson. No problem. White Lightning Tim Horner could never beat me. And then you got this big, long-legged, tall drink of water that wants to call himself
Prime Time Brian Lee.
Who've you ever beat, Horsehead? You're a nothing happening, stinking individual. And if you think for 1 minute that you've got enough intestinal fortitude to step in the ring against one of the meanest men in professional wrestling, greatest minds in professional wrestling,
Here he is, Prime Time Brian Lee.
I'll tell you one thing, White Boy. You stand out here and run your mouth about how no man on this earth can beat you. Well, I know that a man on this earth can beat me, but it's not you. And I hope in the tournament we get to come down and find out who the real man is between us.
Okay. Prime Time Brian Lee and the Dirty White Boy.
We'll
what about
see.
That one?
We'll see, Prime Time. You just signed he will definitely see.
All right, fans.
Gentleman, he is. He'd have squashed him right here in the front of everybody. I'm glad you're a good gentleman, brother.
We'll be back, fans. Right now, let's take this time out.